If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
If the courthouse was the stage, the jail was the backstage. And what's being alleged about the Lector County Jail is even more disturbing. A former jail guard told News Nation's Brian Enten that the place was essentially a brothel. Supervisors allegedly took inmates home. Guards allegedly pressured women. Inmates were reportedly given cigarettes, commissary items, or time outside their cells in exchange for sexual favors. And Judge Mullins himself, he allegedly invited the guard to late night parties with other higher ups. These allegations haven't been proven in court, but if even half of them are true, this wasn't about one bad judge. This was about a culture, a system where exploitation wasn't a glitch. It was the operating system. And incidentally, the same system that's going to be also trying Sheriff Mickey Steins. Here's where it gets psychologically devastating. Insiders described it as normal. Normal. That is the word. In communities where corruption seeps into daily life. The line between unacceptable and inevitable blurs. Victims don't just carry trauma, they carry confusion. Because if everyone shrugs, if silence is the rule, how do you even know you're allowed to call it wrong? Which brings us back to Sheriff Steins. If he was complicit, then he's part of the rot. If he wasn't, then he was a man living in a town where the justice system was allegedly weaponized against the very people it meant to serve. Either way, the psychological toll is undeniable. Fear for his reputation, fear for his family, fear for the system itself was collapsing. Was the gunshot his way of silencing it? Or exposing it? Or both? That's a question hanging over this case right now. So let's talk about that culture. Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author, joining us again. When insiders describe corruption as just normal, what does it tell us about the psychology of a community conditioned to accept exploitation? Let's get into it.
I would love to think that people didn't know, but as you say, if it's this bad, there had to be more people who knew outside of the system. And it's hard to wrap our heads around that. I think they need entirely new leadership in this government, and it's got to be transparent and focused on ethics and integrity. And it's got to do a complete shift here, because it doesn't make sense and how awful this is for people who've been victimized by it.
It makes me wonder how fair of a trial this will be for Mickey Steins. considering we're talking about the justice system and all this taking place within the exact same setting that these allegations are coming out of. It's the same set. It's the same show. He's now just part of it. And it does make me wonder, you know, how deep does this go and how do you get a fair trial? There's so many questions that I think need to be examined here before this thing really gets underway in terms of whose hands are in the cookie jar of this trial. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much. This is one that you would probably like to see tried in a different community because there's just a lot of strange stuff that's gone in here.
There's reports within the prison system that there were small rewards given to people in jail who exchanged, or not exchanged, but basically were coerced or assaulted, and then they would get little rewards, commissary, cigarettes, time outside in exchange for sex. Is there a major problem within our jailing system and within our prison system where, look, everything's on the record in court, everything's on the record over here, but once you get there, it kind of seems to be a free-for-all. And you're really up to the jurisdiction of who's running the jail and who's running the prison. And these are not necessarily elected figures. These are just people who have the job. And if you get a corrupt one in place, you have no recourse in most ways if there is something corrupt and horrible going on. This seems to be something we need to take a closer look at in our country, because there does seem to be a lot of problems here where things are going off the rails very quickly in our jail populations and prison populations.
100%. And it, you know, the other thing that comes to mind, it sure seems like correctional officers in jails and prisons should be made to wear body cameras.
Yeah.
So you can have somebody in charge of reviewing what is going on with these folks when they're dealing individually with prisoners. There was one jail in California near the community that I used to live and work in. And it was fairly known down in that community. I didn't hear about it until quite a few years later, where men were routinely raped by one particular male guard. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, and that was happening in the jail. So we need to do a better job. But as with all things about prison and jails, it's not really the average citizen's priority. You know, people don't think about it. And really, we should, because I think even when you're incarcerated for doing something horrible, and many people are not violent criminals who are locked up, but certainly even if you are a violent criminal, I think ethics and integrity in a civilized society, you don't abuse people, you know? They have consequences, which is why they're locked up, but you don't dehumanize them and abuse them, and we shouldn't tolerate that.
And that's such an important thing, is there doesn't seem to be an appetite, and unfortunately, this seems to be how everything, you know, runs in our world. If there's no appetite from the villagers and the community to fix something, nothing will be done. And if there is no appetite because, oh, they're icky people, put them away and let's forget about them, which seems to happen a lot, then it goes on deaf ears. The same in the school system. Oh, yeah. If they're icky people, let's just move them along, pass the trash a little bit.
Yeah.
But then people don't get enraged, and people or when people should be enraged by certain things like this, in this case, or like the teachers being transferred around and abusing kids from district to district, or like the Catholic Church for years. It takes forever to get enraged. I'll tell you, just, I mean, from a standpoint of someone who creates content, who puts stories out there, just recently we had the Devil's Den massacre that took place right here. Big story. The stories that talk about the murder, that talk about Andrew McGann, the horrible things he did, they do very well. A lot of people are intrigued and get good views. I branched off of that to dive deeper into how he got here, how the education system continued to parse this guy around from school to school to school. And tons of people have children out there. Tons of people have children in school. The titles, the descriptions were very clear about what this was about, about why someone should be concerned, about why someone should be outraged. But you know what? Those don't get the clicks.
Isn't that weird? Isn't that weird? Because that's certainly what I would click on.
Yeah.
That's the priority. And what is it about people that sensationalistic things interest them and excite them and attract their attention? But when it comes to what is the work that we really need to do to improve society and keep kids safe? And you and I have talked about the problems with funding child welfare, child protective services. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of when it comes to budgeting for the government, the kids come last.
Yeah.
And therefore you have kids left in situations where they end up dead sometimes. And we talk about those cases. And why is it that people aren't outraged about protecting kids in all areas? And certainly when it comes to treating people in prison and in jail, nobody should be raped. But it's almost like, as you say, these are icky people.
Yeah.
And you'll find people even kind of laughing about the abuse of prisoners. And I just like to think that we can do better.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you say, yes, those are not the things that get clicks, I'm going, well, maybe this is just going to be the way it is. But
it's,
we can keep talking
disturbing.
About it.
I love, and I do keep talking about it, but if nobody's listening, what do you do?
Yeah.
That's the scary part about this. It's like, people should be listening, but people would rather complain that there's all these icky people out there because it makes them feel better if they're letting their voice be heard and their opinion be heard. Great, we know your opinion. We all agree. These are icky, horrible people. But you have to do something if you want it to change. It's like a pool that sits there and has slime and algae and all sorts of things growing in it. I want to swim in that pool. Well, great. Here's what you need to do to get it cleaned up. Well, I just want to, they just complain about it. It's still dirty.
Yeah.
What did you do
to
help clean this pool that you so supposedly care about? Well, I complained. Well, you have to take action.
Yeah,
well,
very much.
And that's the reality. And then the pool just gets muckier and algier and gross and disgusting. And how did we get here? You didn't do anything.
You didn't do anything. Yeah. It's appalling on another level, because if, as a society, we did a better job of ensuring, or at least doing our best, that kids were well parented and had resources for schools and putting good counselors in schools, not just an academic counselor, but mental health people in schools, and prioritize that. And we could catch some of these people earlier before they start committing violent crimes. If we prioritize that, if we prioritize incentivizing people who could be wonderful foster parents and get kids out of abuse and get them into quality foster homes, which we'd have to come up with a better system to do that because we don't have enough now. But if we were looking more at prevention, we would have fewer icky people overall.
Yeah.
And, you know, people, I think they live in their own little worlds and their own little bubbles. And it's too easy. It's just like, what can we do? Everybody complains about homeless people on the street. Well, let's come up with some plans that we can actually measure outcomes and treat mental illness and get people off the streets, offer more in the way of drug addiction services that are, you know, effective. A lot of things that we throw money at are not effective, but we can do a better job with a lot of this. But people, they don't want to think about it.
Damn.
And it's the last priority when it comes to funding. You know, we're really good at funding the military and certain things. We don't fund healthcare, we don't fund mental health services, and we don't fund child protection services.
Which is amusing, because all of those are the roots of all of our problems. Every time we peel back another layer of this case, the picture gets darker. It's no longer about one sheriff, one judge, one crime. It's about a system that, if these allegations are true, was fundamentally broken. And when you have a system like that, everybody loses. Victims lose, family lose, communities lose, everybody. Even the people inside the system. The sheriffs, the deputies, the guards lose because they're forced to operate in a moral swamp where silence is survival. Siobhan made a critical point. When communities normalize corruption, the damage multiplies. Victims don't just suffer the abuse itself. They suffer the betrayal of knowing others saw it and did nothing. That kind of silence becomes a second wound, one that never quite heals. And when insiders start calling it normal, that's when you know the rot has gone all the way through. This also raises the uncomfortable question of fairness. How do you try a man like Steins in the same county, in the same courthouse, under the shadow of the same allegations, and expect the outcome to feel clean? How deep does the corruption go, and who's left to untangle it when the entire system is accused of being compromised? Here's a bigger takeaway. We can't just look at the murder and the allegations as isolated scandals. They're symptoms of something larger, a failure to value integrity in the very institutions that demand it most. We talk a lot about bad apples, but what if the orchard itself is infected? Maybe that's why this story resonates so deeply. It's not just about the sheriff pulling a trigger. It's about the slow coercion of trust, the way communities learn to look away at the price they pay. That price? The silence that finally implodes. The question now isn't just whether Steins will be convicted. The question is whether the community can ever rebuild faith in a system that may have betrayed them for years. Because if justice isn't justice, then what is it worth? That's the shadow this case leaves us with. And it's not one that disappears with a verdict. Let me know your thoughts in the comments section on YouTube. Press subscribe there as well. Press subscribe where you're listening to us on the podcast platforms. If you're not already at either of those places, just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi so you can join in on all of that. Big shout out to Brian Enten for his reporting and that interview that we based a lot of this on today. Very interesting. If not seen that interview that he did with one of the alleged victims of the judge, do check that out. Until next time, my name is Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.